Here's McCown on second and goal, back looking up the gut. He takes it back. Now he rolls back, and he's rolling near side left. He's got a man open. It's Marlon Moore. He's got it. Touchdown.
Well, Josh McCown just did his best Johnny Manziel imitation. Wow.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty
Ford. He sounds so excited.
Let's go back to the phones. Johnny B. in Pittsburgh. By the way, I got to see Johnny. Speaking of Johnny, hold on, Johnny B., 1 second. I got to see Johnny from Dallas.
Yes. Came up and said that's up to me, of course.
Yeah, good dude, man.
He found me first.
Good dude.
And then he's like, where's the girl? And I'm like, he's around here somewhere. He's going to be wearing a suit, though, and he'll be walking through here around 7.
He was fired up. Good dude. Very enjoyed meeting him. All right, let's go to Johnny B. in Pittsburgh, another one of our favorites. Up, Johnny B.
Matt. Hey, guys. Hey, Matt. Listen, I like your little take on the really big show with Rizzo. He can never hate you as bad as me. They won't even let me on the show, but getting back to my question, I've seen, well, we all have seen probably the biggest coaching implosion, and that was the Houston Oilers got so bad, you know, that Uncle Buddy sucker punched Kevin Gilbride in the sideline.
Yep.
And before I get into this real fast, shout out to the kid, much respect, but is this version, and it is in my opinion, Mike Patton O'Neill, is this the biggest joke and embarrassment of a coaching implosion for the whole entire staff you've ever seen?
You know what? I haven't been around necessarily for any other implosion and wasn't following it as close as I was never close to the Cleveland Browns as much as I am now. And I don't even necessarily know if this is an implosion or not because, you know, of the relationship between Jim O'Neill and Mike Pettine and John DeFilippo and the job that he's done. So implosion to me has not happened yet.
I think that, I don't want to like label it in those terms. I would think that what is happening on the defensive side of the football for this team, given the pedigree of the people associated with that side, both as players and coaches, has to be considered a massive disappointment.
Well, that was well put. You know, I got a lot of respect for you guys. And I also was, as well as you guys, you know, thought Mike Pettine would do a great job. And it's not only up here, though. If you've seen the way Mike Tomlin, you know, disrespected Ben Roethlisberger and also the most questionable fake, you know, field goal call of all time. But, you know, guys, it's just not only disappointing, but I'm not going to start trouble here, but it has to be the biggest disappointment of a head coaching job I've seen, you know, because let's just face it, he's lost the team last season, you know, guys. So I'm going to get off here, but I love you guys. Respect for the show and a shout out to the kid, man.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you very much. Let's go to Big Al in Youngstown. Big Al.
Love you guys. Respect for the show and a shout out to the kid, man.
Big Al, you're with us, my man.
Turn your radio down, Big Al.
Hey, I'm here.
Yes, Big Al.
Hey, as far as Gruden goes, you could say he was rude. You could say he had a personal axe to grind with Cleveland, but he didn't tell no lies. He told the truth.
Yeah, this is true now.
He absolutely told the truth. And the way I sum up the Cleveland Browns are with these letters, OIC. Only in Cleveland does crap like this happen. Only in Cleveland, OIC. Matter of fact, I text my friends at the end of the game last night and text them all, OIC.
It was one of those that Jim Rome said you could sum up an entire organization in one play. That would be it for the Cleveland Browns, which I thought was a little harsh. But it was one of those where it literally seemed like, what in the world, you know? That was.
Here's just to set the scene. So obviously, whenever there's like a crunch time moment, whether it's a Buckeye game or a Browns game or a game that that matters to me. So essentially, it's only a Buckeyes, Browns, or Cavs playoffs in particular. I stand up and I get as close to the TV as possible, and I don't mean like 6 inches away, but I mean I want to stand and feel with like that 60, 70-inch TV about 4 feet from my face and feel like I'm in the game, you know, but I'm in my home. And it's like, I don't care who's behind me. I'm like, go find another TV. This is my house. So it's what I do. And I found myself doing the same thing you know, and then I started talking to myself, come on, just kick it through. And I had the Mr. Perfect resonating in my mind, you know, that you had kind of ingrained in there because Travis Kuhns had yet to miss. And it was to the point where, okay, they got the block, and I'm like, I mean, this is
overtime.
All. I'm like, overtime, tackle the kid. And then he goes down the side, like, and I could tell when he scooped the ball, my eyes went from the ball carrier to the number of Ravens that strategically had, I think there were two of them. One was blocking a Brown, and one was ahead of the runner. And I can't, and then I started looking immediately to the angle that one of our linemen or more athletic players would have had to take to, you know.
The only guy who had the angle on him was Kuhns. Kuhns
right.
actually took a great
and
angle
he got blasted.
And got, like, triple teamed.
Right.
And got an island.
Correct.
And Cam Irving was chasing.
And then
no
it's
chance.
Like, so I kind of, I knew at about the 40-yard line, the other, you know, their own 40, that it was going to be a touchdown because of all those things. And I just take my shirt, which happened to be, you know, a Brown shirt, and I just put it over my head like Beavis and Butthead. But this time I happen to pull it a little bit further over my eyes, and I just start saying, there is no way this happens or had happened, in disgust.
Yes, indeed. Unfortunate. To say the very, very least. Our guy Chevy is in New Jersey. He's always got some nice perspective. Usually, Chevy, how are you?
Thanks, guys. I really do. I mean, I'm already looking forward to the draft. We lost the game. That didn't hurt us in the draft. But I really have to say I'm disappointed in Pett, the way they were tackling. You know, they weren't lining up. They weren't staying in their gaps on the run plays. I really think we need to make a change now. Flip the coach. And let's start this organization building something great. This team is undisciplined. You can't really blame the players. And they're out of shape. They're thin. They come back from the summer, and they're smaller than when they left. I mean, that's the head coach. There's the problem. We've diagnosed it. Now let's fix it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Those decisions are going to be made by Jimmy Haslam and not by me.
Yeah, that's not for us. I mean, that's not for us to say. And at this point right now,
you guys can share your opinions. Right. Matt in New York.
Yeah.
What's up, Matt?
Listen, I'm in New York.
Good use of listen, by the way.
I don't get you guys on the radio in the car. So I hope when I ask you a question, you leave me on the air just for a second to get your opinion.
You got that, Dino?
The first note is that, you know, we say, like, when we talk about Belichick and all these guys, how the team looks prepared and all that.
Yes.
I'm watching the field goal block doesn't even bother me as much as the clock mismanagement. When you have a guy who you just signed off the street a couple weeks ago running your one-minute no-huddle offense, and you leave him out there with a timeout to burn to try to run this no-huddle, and 20 seconds run off the clock, and we're settling for a 51-yard field goal. That's what bothered me the most.
That one was very tough to me, too, because especially it sounds like it was the result of an issue with communication. And if that's the case, then it seems to me like even more imploring you to take a timeout.
I think he gets wrapped in, like, I used to be a Penn supporter. I don't know how you get wrapped up when you're not busy calling plays or anything like that. How do you get wrapped up in the moment like that as a head coach and just forget those, you know, space out? But then my question, because you guys are probably close to the day in and day out operations, I'm kind of screaming at my TV last night. I don't know why Duke Johnson is not in the game more often. Does it make a huge difference or not? I don't know. But there's just to me, it's very obvious that he is a better runner, obviously a better pass catcher, and more explosive player than Crowell. And I like Crowell, but there's no way that, unless there's something going on behind the scenes, there's no reason that he's not in the game more than Crowell. And I just don't get it. You're shuffling out backs every other play, and we're leaving one of our better playmakers on the bench throughout the game. I don't get it.
Isaiah Crowell, I think, will struggle behind this type of a line. I think he's a guy who needs to run. Do you think he's more suited to be in a power scheme where there's push?
Yes, 100%.
Yes.
I
want to see more.
I like the looks of Crow when Crow has a head of steam. You know, because we saw last year, wasn't the fleetest of foot with his cleats in the ground and would fall down because he got – His body lean was so forward that he would literally fall down, you know, and now there's none of that. And he's having to create that momentum for himself because there's nothing there. And just to clarify really quick, guys, for all of you listening out there, Isaiah Crowell had 25 plays in the game. That's 30%, 36% of the offensive snaps. Duke Johnson had 44, which is 64% of offensive snaps, and a running back was on the field every offensive snap in all 69 of them, either Duke Johnson or Isaiah Crowell. So Duke Johnson was out there more than you believe. He just wasn't essentially given the football. You know, the fact that we deviate from the run, and you know, you can't force feed the, I think you can in some cases creatively, but force feed the football to him when he is in the game.
The problem is we haven't, and credit to the Bull, Adam the Bull fan says, we haven't had a running back rush for 40 yards in 6 games. I mean, there's no continuity. Give one guy an opportunity to go ahead and go.
Yeah, but so down 17, point, down 17 to 3, what's an offensive coordinator supposed to do?
No, that's fine, but then you got back into the game. You were
right,
you were
I know.
In the game, certainly. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, still to come. The voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan, at 2 o'clock here on CBD.